How was the week?
It was good. You know, obviously end of the month last week, and so, you know, business is good. Business is flowing. Opening some new accounts, getting some additional fundings, which is always important. And just attacking, you know, from my perspective, just making sure I communicate and transition a lot of these names that Larry and Ryan have been sending my way, which is good.
Smart.
And so, you know, with the new team that we're on, we're doing a kind of a grading process to rate each one of the clients, and so it's in the works. So we did that towards the tail end of last week, you know, rating them A, B, C, and D, and so on, which I think is more or less on the Pareto side versus your side.
Yeah, I hate it, but I'll let you finish.
Right. So now, are you familiar with their style, with his style?
Yep. Explain to a CPA how the ABC model works.
Well, essentially, you've got your AAAs are clients that have managed assets that are over a certain threshold, whatever the team dictates, and those are also ones who give referrals. I guess a BBB would be right underneath that, which is everything but not so much the referrals. And then, you know, Bs, Cs, and Ds are more quantitative, where it's more asset-driven versus, you know, getting the referrals and participating in those center of influence type conversations. But for me, it's weird because I'm trying to use the grading system on its absolute basis, and I don't have accounts that are up that high, but I still have some good accounts that are giving me referrals and getting me in front of other people just from my work, you know, which is really
and
good.
What's the service model for a double B?
Two touches a year.
That's you're walking into a trap.
Am I?
Yeah.
So is a caveat. I haven't fully read the book. I'm still working my way through it.
Ah! What?
But yours, I've read that one.
Oh, phew. Thank you.
All of them.
Cover to cover.
That's right. Well, actually, one of them was an audiobook.
Good.
Which was good.
Good. And what's the basic premise of the entire Supernova model?
Getting in better with your clients, building better quality relationships with your top tier clients, and I guess the end result is making more revenue with smaller relationships, not smaller relationships, fewer amount of relationships, so they're more manageable, so that you can build better quality relationships with them, spending more time with the client.
Is your brand determined by your top tier clients?
No.
What's your brand determined by?
I guess it would be determined by your own personality and what you're looking to get out of it.
Your brand is not determined.
You're only as good as your worst client, Tim. How you treat your lowest client.
Yep.
See, so I mean, you fell right into the trap.
I did.
Your brand isn't determined by your best client, but by your worst client. And if your double B clients get called twice a year, then when you go to that CPA and you say, our minimum level of service is calling our clients twice a year. And that CPA will say, thank you very much. Goodbye.
Right. Which is why the 12-4-2 model is much better.
If he says, explain your Supernova, explain your service model to me with the Pareto one. A half an hour later, he's fallen asleep and has kicked you out of his office.
Oh, boy. Right.
It sucks, okay? It's a horrible model. Anyway, how do I feel about it?
Tell us what you really feel, Rob. Don't hold anything back.
It's It's incredibly confusing for everyone, including the clients and CPAs and sales assistants. So what do the sales assistants do? Not answer the phone for the double A's? Or what? I mean, what are we supposed to do?
No, they do. They do still.
You know what happens? Since you keep all the clients, then you give what we, I asked one of my sales assistants, so how, what kind of service do you give to your 600 clients? We give average service to everybody. That was the answer. You see, your model, you're giving average service to everybody because you don't have time to give really good service to your best clients because you have too many. Because the phones are ringing off the hook because you never call them.
Right.
Okay. So it's a disaster.
Well, I'm glad I asked.
But that was the model in the 90s. And some people still adhere to it because they are stupid.
Right. haven't evolved.
Not you. The person that taught you that. Whoever that idiot was.
Right.
But anyway, that's neither here nor there. We're not here to talk about the other team's business, lack of business model that they think is great because they don't have to do anything. You see, with that model, you don't have to actually do anything. You don't. You really don't. You can just say, well, I just haven't called them yet. I'm going to call them twice a year, but I haven't called them yet because there's no schedule. Okay. So, Ryan, what's on your mind? Get me out of this.
Well, to Tim's credit, most of Tim's clients are going to be called quarterly and kind of do Supernova Light because they will be our clients, and most of Tim's clients are still going to be around the 500, 400, 500, 1,000 mark, 300 to 500. So the good news is we don't have a lot of stuff to give him anymore. And if we don't want to give it to Tim, we don't have to. We can give it to somebody else if it's something that is just not viable for us and what we want to do. So, Tim, you can always say no to a client or to us or to Eric or somebody else that you may not be a good fit. I know it's new, but I think you still have to be able to. And you have to get clients, but you still want to make sure, to Rob's point, that they're quality clients, not just a number. So it's not perfect.
Right.
You're massaging it the whole time, trying to keep, Harbor happy, us happy, Rob happy, Dignity, etc. So it is going to be a dance, but, I think you can do it with the right focus.
Right.
So that's my two cents for what it's worth.
So Ryan, get me out of this blue funk, would you please? Tell me some good news.
I spoke to the president of Honor Flight this morning, and they're working on getting their annual schedule together, and he's going to be looping back with me at the end of the week to give me an idea how I can get more involved there. I spoke to a client of mine who has he's been the CEO of a couple of medical device companies, and he gave me a few different ideas regarding getting involved with a charity around AFib or other types of heart rhythm. He said there's a Heart Rhythm Society, which is effectively the society for professionals. There's like 7,000 electrophysiologists or other heart specialists involved in it. And he said, I should create the Ryan Ward Prize for best original work by a fellow and offer like a $5,000 you know, prize for, you know, up and coming doctors. That way it would give me a really long runway with these younger doctors that are coming up. But that was a neat idea. He's like,
great.
Not sure how that would get up.
Yeah.
How we get up and running, or, you know, who could award or judge it. And he said, you know, maybe I could go to one of the larger American Heart Association chapters down here in Broward or Palm Beach, and then maybe do a prize for arrhythmia work where that they may have a little bit more of a structure in place. But he knows a lady that runs stopafib.org, and he's like, she's like a, you know, big Texan lady that, you know, had an ablation a while back, but it's not necessarily like a charity. It's more of a blog or like a common interest group. And then there's another one for American Rhythm Association of Cardiac Rhythm or something, but that seems to be tied to like the UK and some doctors there. And then there's another group up in North Carolina, but they don't really have a presence down here. So I'm working on, you know, those, you know, that type of thing. I talked to Mary Beth about getting involved with Boca Sinfonia, and she told me to pound salt right now. She's kind of in the middle of interviewing for two jobs, and she's not really interested in, I told her I need her involvement if I'm going to go that route, so to speak. I'm trying to focus in on that. And I spent 5 hours in here on Sunday getting rid of a bunch of crap and just trying to really streamline and focus on, you know, what I need to be focused on, so to speak, regarding, you know, getting the work done. I just got my countdown timer set up so I can start some time blocking sessions. I believe that I need to start time blocking. As I've come back to the office, I'm like ADD, where I've got, you know, 19 people walking in and talking to me, and I'm walking around talking to people, and, you know, I'm going to need to have some more effective work sessions. Otherwise, I'm going to lose a lot of time. I'm working on getting new marketing materials. I got a title increase on, I went from AVP to VP. And then I'm actually eligible now to become what they call a senior portfolio manager. But they do that in June, apparently. I have to wait for them to look in June to deem it as such. So I may have to, you know, get another title then.
Nice job.
And thanks. I talked to Kim Kessing. She's in the middle of a move, so she's a little underwater right now. And then I went to lunch with Charlie Fisher the other day. He is thinking about setting up his own team. You know, he went to one of the Tony Robbins rallies, and he came back invigorated. To his credit, he's lost 45 pounds. So
wow.
He's trying to get on that horse. But, you know, he's envisioning, you know, building out his own team. I think he's looking at an uphill battle there, but, you know, I had a little bit more of a conversation with him around what he's looking for in life. Speaking to another guy who's newer to the firm that's talking about teaming, and Larry Jan Binder, the little guy that came over that was sitting down by a diner, the little he's got the CSA that's got the little gray pixie cut, the young lady with the gray hair with the pixie cut.
Right. Right.
You know, I was kind of talking to him about what, you know, going through that process, and clearly let him know I was an expert on the process and, you know, to use me as a sounding board. But, you know, from a team standpoint, closed some business for one of the senior partners, which was nice. We're expecting some money coming in on that. So we got a new rep code set up there. And then for Julie, one of the other older guys, yeah, for Julie, one of her guys wants to do some of the option strategy. And then with
Is
one of the other
guy
older guys,
with?
I'm, yes. And then with one of the other older guys that Eric's had some problems with, I'm going through his, I ran all his book metrics, and I'm going through some of his accounts, and I'm like, hey, you realize this person has got, you know, 300,000 with you, has a house that's worth $1.3 million, and, you know, is clearly not looking at you as their advisor. So, we're going to get on that with him. And I know Tim has had some conversations with him as well. You know, try to show Eric that we're capable of turning nothing into something on that front. It's not a use 12 hours of my day out of it, but I think if throw a couple hours a week at it, I can see some good benefits. Plus, we'll get some more money into our strategies as well with, you know, converting over some of that stuff. Heading in the right direction. Also, you know, our team has engaged a VEA person, Rob.
Yes.
I had an additional conversation with him, and we're just kind of getting the full authorizations down to start folding our websites together and all that stuff. But, you know, we are looking at getting that stepped up further. But we have our own, we do have our own person the team's engaged with. And most of the people at our firm do not work directly with teams, but he has like 6 or 7 teams he works with, and one of them's ours. So we have that going for us, so to speak.
Did you get approved on the marketing stuff for the strategies from Courtney?
No, I'm working on that right now. I've been going back and forth getting answers, and somehow nobody in our building knows how to do this. I actually reached out to the guy at this communications review center directly, and he said I need to work with the branch entitlements, provisioning, and reporting person. Your crow probably knows who that is, and neither crow knows who that is. And I'm getting, it's like one of those circle things, right, where they, you know, operation sends you to compliance, sends you back to the other one, sends you, you know, it's like nobody's, it's amazing to me that like nobody in my building can get this assistant authorized to submit my marketing materials. But they have them in review, and they kicked it back and said, hey, we'd like you to correct like 1 or 2 more things, and I can't access it right now. And Christine and Courtney are both out of the building right now anyway, so it doesn't really matter. We're trying to, trying to get that going. And Rob, the problem that this team's going to come up against, or it's going to continually come up against right now, is that, you know, like, you know, there's about to be a tidal wave of stuff that's heading at Tim in terms of accounts and business and everything. And, you know, right now the team kind of needs him to take some of this stuff, or, you know, like what we're trying to figure out is like everyone on the team can't be fully supernova unless we just got rid of all these clients. And unfortunately, with the way that this team's structured, we have 8 retirement situations going on. We can't offload all of the retired people's smaller clients because they need to get paid on them through their retirement. And that was part of the deal. So we're looking at bringing on some, another person later this year, and then we might have capacity to bring on another person in the middle of next year. But Eric told me that, you know, the firm's working on, you know, there's only so many hires and so many people and everything. So, you know, we're trying to get our share, and we're also losing one of our top CSAs, because she moved during COVID, and they're not going to let her work remotely. So we were already supposed to get 1 or 2 new CSAs, and now we're going to be losing one of our workhorses, so to speak. So that's not great.
So what I would do, you know, is I would, since you got to keep those guys happy, but you don't need to make them extra money, is when you got money in and you made more money for them in these clients, then you get rid of some. So it's net revenue neutral.
Okay. I'm trying, like.
Yes.
Soon, I know that, like, one of the other senior guys, he's already, like I said, he's already tried kind of doing Supernova Light himself. And one of the younger guys I was talking to realizes he needs to do, like, Supernova to his practice. You know, so pretty soon it's going to be Eric, three 80-year-old guys, and then everyone else is pretty much mentally on board with Supernova. From the standpoint of, you know, when you're buying out practices and other stuff, that, like I said, there are some inefficiencies at certain points, and we're trying to figure that out. I think that we're going to be able to migrate more in that direction for the team. I think that everyone's realizing that there's more business to be done. They just, you know, it's kind of one of those things where it's been working for them. Just, you know, it's hard to switch to work and to do something different to be better when things are going pretty good. You know, it's like when you're hitting batting 300, you don't want to change your stance and go backwards to try to get to 320 sometimes. But, right. I think we'll try to, you know, I think we're going to be able to head in that direction. Just, you know, we've all kind of been on the lay low and don't upset the apple cart,
rock the boat
right off. Yeah. Yeah. Especially because we're dragging Barry, who they're asking if he's dead on our meetings, you know, and, most people have been pretty welcoming to us, but I think that, you know, some of the smaller partners don't see the full value of what we're bringing yet, you know. And I think if we can start to get some of these wins for the partners, you know, like I've got a client who's got a kid up in Cleveland who's a hospital director, and I'm going to introduce him to one of the other senior guys because he's up in Cleveland back and forth all the time. He has a house up there. So I told him, I'm like, you're part of my team now. If we can get this business in, you take the lion's share of it, and, you know, let's get some more business going, you know? So I think it would be nice, you know, to give, but in order to get, you have to give. Yep. So we're very much in the giving phase right now.
Correct.
You know, like I told you, like the Larry Wilson stuff keeps bouncing around in my head and resonating, and I keep, you know, self-talking on all that stuff. So, you know, it's one of those things where, like, I'm kind of trying to take the mindset of, you know, if I want to have radical change, I have to change radically. You know, I can't continue doing what I'm doing, expect to have, you know, a major difference. And that's something I think that, I'm being forced to look at my behaviors and look at what I'm doing. And, you know, as a group, we've decided to try to we've been doing some of these structured investments, and we're trying to reduce those some because they've been we're doing a lot of revenue, but they've been so time consuming.
Yeah.
That, you know, we're looking at it as a, you know, some of our clients are going to need to continue to do them, but, you know, we're trying to reduce the number of people that are doing those and make them more impactful when we do those, that transactional business. We're trying to make it, you know, okay, we do it for 5 clients at 50,000 a piece instead of 50 clients at 10,000 a piece, you know, and try to work our way that way. But the managed money's going up. You know, everything's headed the right direction. All of our business is up big, you know, on the year. We're now tracking, not including Tim or any outside business, just Barry, Larry, and I are tracking towards 275 right now, which is, you know, significant. Wow. Lift, from, Larry, I don't think you realize that. But, you know, right now, the three of us, year to date, are up between like 22 and 27%. Versus last year where we were up, you know, noticeably, you know, the prior year as well. Like last year we were up, Larry, you were up almost 25% last year, and now you're tracking 25% above that. So, you know, we've seen probably between the three of us over the last 3 years.
That's all coaching, Ryan. That's all coaching right there.
Perfect.
And it definitely makes a difference, you know. But we had, I think we just had our biggest natural month this last month. You know, we did close to 230,000. And there was no one single big ticket stuff. You know, it wasn't like we had like a big life insurance policy hit or anything like that. So, you know, we're excited about that.
Yeah, just keep the integrity of the model as you're going. You've got a lot of people that's going to be throwing garbage at you, and you got to really keep your head down and concentrate on keeping your model together, because there's a lot of ways to waste a lot of time. So, you know, try and find as many sources as you can to offload clients, meaning Tim, but don't kill Tim. And then, you know, if you can give them away to other places, do. It's always the hard part.
Yeah.
As long as you're revenue neutral, and you can end the year and say, look, you know, we got rid of 100 clients and we're still doing the same amount of business with that money. And we grew this way up here because we had time, because we got rid of the 100 clients.
I spoke with Monique, who's maybe a year and a half ahead of Tim. You know, she's doing about 350. And I said, you know, at what point are you open for business? And she said, you know, she'll take 250 to 500 still, you know, she's looking to build. You know, so I think that, we clearly want to make sure that Tim's getting fed, but we have other places we can go with it. You know, like Ross is pretty much drinking from a fire hose right now. He's pretty much capped out. And then the other guy on our team, Nick, he's committed to 3 years of servitude to the group before he's been going into production. So it's basically, that's why I said, you know, Eric's been talking to Tim more, telling him that more stuff's coming. And from my conversations offline with Eric, I know that he's looking to leverage Tim much more moving forward.
That's good. As long as Tim goes, you know, I'm open for 500 and above. And what's her name?
Monique.
So Monique gets 500 and, you know, 250 to 500, and Tim keeps everything above that. And you guys have your standard minimums, and everybody's happy.
Yeah. Now it's our big problem right now is just getting those big intros, you know, which is why we're focusing on the centers of influence. Oh, you'll get a kick out of this. I reached out to a COI, a potential COI, I kind of used this, you know, I didn't go verbatim, but, you know, kind of called up, and she knows my parents, and she's the one that set up the nonprofit for my dad's situation. And I talked to her gatekeeper or whatever, and told her, like, yeah, I was interested in speaking with her and interviewing her for some potential business. And her gatekeeper says her next available appointment is like May 20th. Like, it was like a month like later. And I was like, well, if that's it, that's fine. But you may want to let her know that I'm reaching out to interview her about getting some additional business. You know, it's just like, I don't know how else I can say it, you know? And I'm following up with a CPA about another attorney I'm supposed to speak with. And I had a call with another family attorney. And quite frankly, I'm looking to get away from some of Barry's referral sources because they haven't panned out real well for some of my clients. So I'm looking to have my own people at this point. You know, I've had two disappointing experiences back to back with my largest client, and that's not what you want to do. Fortunately, the CPA I gave her, she loves, but the divorce person and the estate planner were not impressive for her at all. And I'd say it's even gone to the point where they were detrimental to our relationship. Wow. And she's a big client. She's, you know, $60,000-$70,000 revenue client. So, fortunately she loves me. I mean, but, you know,
So get her do some new introductions. Hustle. You got to find some good guys. I mean, it's most important they be super people and they do a great job. If they give you introductions, yes, that's bonus. But you can't be sending clients to bad people.
Correct. It's embarrassing. You know.
And that's why they don't want to send them to you, because they're afraid they're going to get embarrassed. And here they're saying, you know, now it's working in reverse.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So, executive summaries.
I did about three.
That would be like a half a day.
Yes. three more than the zero I did the week before, but yes, ironically enough, Rob, this morning I had a client call up and was like, "Hey, I was a little confused about what we talked about on Friday." And he's like, "I think we should do an email after our call." I was like, actually, it's funny you say that. I think that does need to become more
who was that?
The sun doesn't go down. Look, if I can do them for you, you're going to do them for your clients, okay? I'm not going to bother doing them for you if you don't do them for your clients. So right after you're done, look on the Zoom thing. If you're doing a Zoom call, all you do is copy, you know, highlight, copy, go to your email, click, hit the email, right?
Mm-hmm.
Address, executive summary, point 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yep.
Brian. That's it. It takes, I did it.
You have like
I've been
a,
doing it.
So you have already a template made.
No, I just.
It's not even a template, Larry. You just do bullet points.
I sent one to you guys. Yeah. I sent one to Ryan after our last meeting. All it is all I got is, Ryan, here is a summary of our agreed upon actions. Number one, make commitment to joining two charities. Two, institutionalize the use of executive summaries. Three, hire a virtual engagement associate. Four, establish an accountability partner when setting any goal. So you and Tim are accountability partners when it comes to executive summaries. Tim?
Here, this is what I sent. I sent this to Dan. You know, just said summarize. This is what we're doing. And then action items that he needs to follow up on. And you know, doesn't need to be anything more dramatic than this, Rob.
I just use numbers. I just use 1, 2, 3, 4, because then it's simple, and they know what it is instead of it being sort of a paragraph that they're not quite sure what's in there.
Gotcha. But just generally speaking, it doesn't really need to be flowery language and all.
You just have to remind them of what you agreed on. All it has to be. Mine was, how simple was that? Make a commitment to joining two charities. Institutionalize the use of executive summaries. Hire a virtual engagement associate. Establish an accountability partner. Congratulations on your progress. Change is hard, but you are on a great path for a bright future, Rob. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you why those executive summaries are such a good idea is because we've got to put notes in technically into CRM anyways. And so anytime when you're having a client conversation, you got to put that in there. And I don't know, maybe just from, whatever. I always send a recap email when I talk to my clients. I don't talk to them as frequently as you, Ryan, but I'm picking up steam. And instead of doing the call summary notes in CRM afterwards for, the compliance perspective, you just attach the email. And so, you've got to write it anyways, either for compliance later on down the road, or you can do it for the client and then just attach it into CRM through the email and kind of kill two birds with one stone.
That's what I'm doing.
I'll send you an executive summary and just to give you a sample, okay, of what we agreed on today.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I just think it's just a simple habit. The first time I did it, it took me, stupid time. Second, a little less. Third, hardly any. Now I can, bam. I can do it in you know, a minute and a half now, 2 minutes. So it's just a matter of don't leave Gmail until you do it, because you got the email right there. You got the email address right on the Zoom call, right on the Zoom call. So just copy, paste, fire. Okay.
Okay.
I'm doing this because of you, Ryan. I'm forcing myself to do this because you need to do it. So if I can do it, you can do it.
No, I know I can do it. It's not that hard. It's just doing it. Yeah, do it.
Right. Okay. Because we want to differentiate ourselves and create a great client experience and be consistent all the time. Always the same experience. Clients love the same. They hate difference. They want everything the same. They'll do it. They'll do their homework. They'll behave, but they need you to be their coach. This is how you can be their coach. I think we're onto something here, seriously, with these executive summaries. I know we are. So the other is a partner, accountability partner. So you and Tim, just at the end of the day, just say, hey, how'd you do? Did you do your summaries? Don't let the sun go down on you if you haven't done your summaries. Okay?
Right.
I mean, that's a big change, okay? And if you do it, you're going to be happy.
And then I made all the notes to send for my summary, and then I didn't type it out.
Yeah, well, you don't have to make it. Look what I did. It's just, you know, bullet point 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And you hit the one with the parentheses, and then it goes 2, and then it goes 3, and then it's automatic. Right? You guys know how to do that, right? And then I can read it as an old person. I don't have to go through a paragraph. I want to be able to look and see the bullets or see the 1, 2, 3, 4, you know? Which one are mine?
Right.
That's about, you know, you look and say, what are my response? Oh, I've got to meet with the estate planning attorney. Okay. And then all I do is I just hit file, print it, put it next to my notes. Next time I talk to you guys, that's my agenda. I like it. It was hard for me to change, but I'm liking it now. So now you're really on the hook but you almost did everything, Ryan. Look at that. I mean, seriously.
Well, technically I thought I had another week until my call. I was going to get hung out on that one, but yes, I'm trying.
Well, I'm not going to give you any slack. You know that. I don't give you any slack.
I know. Look, that's why you're here.
Right. Accountability coach. Right. So Tim, I don't want to offend you. I think Ryan will explain that this is the whole premise for my existence is to eliminate A, B, C, and D models. So, because I think they really confuse everybody. So we have one model with butlers. Okay. And therefore we can explain it to somebody.
I think the one thing that was helpful about that process is that it forced me to focus on not who I should deliver the standard, the high standard of service to, but who I should maybe focus on spending my time with outside of here for, like, you know, those AAA clients that are, you know, kind of like my referral sources. Cause you look at your book and you're like, oh, these 7 people all have $2 million. But the value to your practice could be very different amongst those 7 people, where you have 2 people that have, you know, foot out the door or, you know, don't really care. And then you've got 3 people that you know, kind of listen to what you tell them to do and they like you enough, but then you have two or three people that are, you know, really sending you their friends and you know, are advocating for you, you know, like this guy that was coming up with these ideas for me on the stuff. He's like, oh, I know all these kinds of doctors. I'm like, well, tell them about me. You know,
So how do you institutionalize that, Ryan? So we got 12-4-2, right? Everybody gets 12-4-2. These guys, they deserve more than 12-4-2. See, 12-4-2 and rapid response and a financial plan is a minimum. That's the minimum. But we can have higher levels of service, right? So why not drop them in a second time into your monthly schedule and call them twice during the month? Doesn't have to be a scheduled call. It could be just a random call.
Yeah.
It could be also, I mean, you know, it could be, you could have a folder for him, another folder as a center of influence, see? And then build a business plan around him and a strategy that's separate from him as a client.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, like he told me, he like the other day on the call, you know, I was talking about that, and he said he was going to introduce us to his cousins or whatever. They own the Ferrari dealership in Fort Lauderdale, you know, so I have no idea what will come of it, but, you know, I'm sure that if they own a Ferrari dealership, they have some money and know people that have money, you know,
the
at a very minimum.
As fun, Brian.
I know, you know.
His other cousin was one of the senior execs for Accenture.
Yeah, they're not slouches.
So, seriously, this is what, so you go have lunch with those guys and meet them and then work them, right? You don't, that's not something you do, you know, doing a monthly review of his personal account. That's called
hustling. This guy's in New Hampshire.
We spoke of going up there. Somewhere.
Yeah, I know. We need to, clearly.
Well, you don't have to, but I mean, sometime when you get a chance, but you can still do nice things for people, even at a distance, right?
Yeah, he's got a real thing for coffee. I actually got him this customized coffee subscription for his birthday where you have this, it's called Mistobox, MISTO. And you actually have a coffee concierge you can call up. And they have 500 different single source origin growers that grow all these different types of coffee. And you tell them about your flavor profiles. And, like, you know, they send it to you however you want it, whole bean, light grind, whatever. And he was all fired up about that. He really liked that, you know. Just for something thoughtful, like, what am I going to do? Am I going to impress them by buying them a fancy whatever, you know?
Oh, that's a great idea.
Cents over.
That's a sweet idea. My guy sent me, you know, I mean, find out, I don't know, what their hobbies are and, you know, and where they went to school and, you know, if they still are involved with their college or what they're involved with. And, you know, that just, it's easy stuff. Oh, my guy from Wake Forest sent me a little chip, right? The chip you get from the casinos, and in it's magnetized. We're a little ball mark inside the chip, and I
carry the golf marker.
Yeah. I carry that everywhere. I play golf with it, you know, 4 days a week. I think of them every time I take it out. It's so personal.
Right.
Actually, you know who sent that to me? Bill Cates sent that to me. Now think about that. Bill Cates has nothing to do with Wake Forest, but we did a Zoom call together, and I sent him a referral. And he sent me a whole Wake Forest package which had two of those chips in it because he knew I loved Wake Forest and I went there, you know? So it's just kind of going around and figuring things out. So he's pretty good at that. I was impressed.
Yeah. I feel like I'm pretty good with that type of stuff. You know, like, and the people that I work with like me. But I need to figure out how to get them to send me the business and to put themselves out there for me. That's the.
Well, one of the things on your executive summary, at the bottom of your executive summary, the last, like number five can be, hey, send me your brother as a client.
Just ask.
Just ask. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's okay. It's kind of fun and funny and cool. I think it's great. I would have no problem if I got that at the bottom of a summary. Find me a new client on the island, or, you know. Seriously, that would not be offensive at all to me. I think it would be wonderful. And it's just a reminder. No. It's a reminder that you're in business, that you want his help.
Yeah.
Okay. I think these executive summaries are really a good idea. I know I've been hammering you for 2 weeks now on it, but I think that little, you know, that little, hey, remember, don't, you know, still looking for your brother, refer him. Let's
see. Yeah, it's also something you could read forward to somebody if they don't follow up on it. Say, hey, just, you know, wanted to loop back around on this. You know, these are the things that we agreed to or talked about or whatever. Because unfortunately, we're not. You know, it's all important to us, but we're not front of mind for most of our clients all the time.
Well,
you know,
that's like, right. But see, and that executive summary can be the agenda for the next call.
Yeah, look, see, I even have it written down here. Executive summary, write it.
Right. And then agenda for the next call. See, so then you just copy and paste and stick it on there, and that's your agenda. Easy. You don't have to work. Tim, you're taking notes here, right? You got it?
I am taking notes, but I was going to say, Ryan, from a habit forming perspective, you know, I always get in the habit of, or I have recently, just because Eric has been honest about the CRM, you know, doing my, I don't call them executive summaries, but like a follow-up email when I get off the phone immediately before I move on to my next task or my next phone call, even if it takes another 3 or 5 minutes, because we do get dragged in a lot of different directions. And if you get in the habit of doing it right then and there, instead of waiting to the end of the day or the weekend or what have you, you just plow through it and send it. And it's a good timestamp for when the conversation happened too.
Yeah, no, that is a much better practice than what I'm doing. Cause yeah, like I have 3 or 4 that I get behind on and then I don't go back and do them. But what I did find is I talked to a guy a little while ago about his significant other who she's got some money. And I kind of said, you know, I kind of broached the conversation with him and, you know, she's working with the guy that worked with her dad. And, you know, I'm like, oh, that means he's old. And he's like, yeah, that does mean he's old, you know? And I'm like, you know, so, he actually came back to me on this last call and said that, she had $250,000 that was not with this guy that she was going to, that he was trying to get her to give to me to, you know, break the ice, so to speak. But he's like, you got to come up here and see her face to face. They're in Atlanta, you know, which I'd love to go back to Atlanta. That's not a big deal, but you know, that's just kind of hard, you know, when you're trying to forge those new relationships, if you're not there, you know, especially when there's another long-standing relationship in place. But it was good. He you know, kind of planted the seed and he came back and actually unsolicited said that to me. It's like, I was talking to her about getting you some money because I want her to meet you and, you know, get involved. So, you know, that would be good. I mean, that's a $3 million household. So that would be, you know, I guess she would be a butler to that household or whatever, but,
okay.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. I got to send my executive summary to you.
Oh, look at this guy. He's also figured out a way to get off 10 minutes earlier. Have a good time.
All right. See ya.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, guys.